2 Timothy chapter 1, please, if you're opening your Bibles. I'll be reading out of the New King James. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for a special time each year to acknowledge the wonderful grace of a mother's life, a mother's love, a mother's influence. And Father, as we look into the Word tonight, we thank you that every single one of us, no matter what type of relationship we may have had with our mother, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can choose to grab hold of the truth and let that truth have an impact in our heart. And let that truth not just be for our natural mothers, but there are spiritual parents in the Lord as well that many of these truths apply to. So I thank you, Father, that those traditions and doctrines of men that may have affected us or kept us from receiving the truth, I thank you that they'll be dealt with and exposed for what they are. We just thank you for the word of truth to set the captives free, because we're here tonight continuing in your word, and that makes us disciples indeed. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed said, amen. Paul's writing here at the end of 2 Timothy, or the beginning of 2 Timothy, excuse me, but at the end of his ministry life, to a young man who he discipled. And he's encouraging him with this letter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. And the first thing he does is he lets Timothy know that he's praying for him night and day. It says, without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. So there's a constant prayer going out for this man, this young man in his ministry. And he says, they shared tears, both, I think, of sorrow and joy, both for Paul and for Timothy, because Paul had to leave Timothy behind in a very challenging situation there in Ephesus and other places where he had to kind of step in and take over and, in a sense, take the brunt of some of the persecution that Paul had been taking while Paul was arrested and went off to Rome. But Paul points out here that there are certain people that had a great influence on his faith. And he mentions specifically grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And he is persuaded that this genuine faith, as he calls it there in verse 5, is in him as well. Now we know from other scriptures, Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, that Timothy's mother was a Jewess and also a believer, it says, but that his father was a Greek or a Gentile. We don't know if he was a believer. The way it's worded, it almost implies that he was not. So I think that's interesting that, and really almost significant, that the faith of just one parent can influence the child, or really sanctify that child, based on what 1 Corinthians talks about, being able to sanctify a family, a wife or a husband who's believing the Lord, even though they may have an unbelieving husband or wife. They can sanctify the children. And that's apparently what happened here with Eunice. She was able to pray and be able to bring up her child in such a way that Timothy became a man of God at a very young age, a mature man of God, spiritually, at a very young age. Go at the end of that chapter, towards chapter 3, or book chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, in the King James, it says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Underline that phrase. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now notice the next verse. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness. It goes on and says that the man of God be what? thoroughly furnished unto every good work, so that he can be mature. But I think it's interesting. He says, I want you to understand who you've learned this from. Where have you learned some of the things you've gotten? Knowing from whom thou hast learned them. That from a child, now some of your other modern translations, some of you might have out there, that from an infant, from a young person, it implies a very early age. And his mother obviously taught him the Word of God. Grandmother was very influential. You know, back in that culture, they lived together two or three or four generations sometimes in the same household. And so mother and grandmother both had a lot of influence on little Timmy. Little Timmy learned the Word. And you know, one of the things that they learned as growing up, by the time they were 12, they had to memorize a lot of Scripture. They were instructed it day and night, over and over. They memorized Scripture. They were very strict about it for them to be able to reach a certain position in the synagogue as a man, step into that position and be recognized as a man, because they had to know what the Torah said. They had to know what the Scriptures say. And we know so many Scriptures about, you know, what your father and your mother teach you. It's really, it's interesting, because Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, and Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, talks about the law of the mother. I almost did a sermon just on that, because I got kind of off on it as I was studying this, about mom laying down the law. The law of the mother really talks about her instruction and her example and her words, that they brought life. You know, you can tease and you can goof around and make fun of certain things. You know, years ago I shared some interesting things that it says my mother taught me. And the first thing says, my mother taught me about religion. She said, you'd better pray that that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me about time travel. She said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. That's time travel. I like this one. I heard this one in my house. My mother taught me about logic. Because I said so. That's why. Okay, Mom said so. My mother taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear just in case you get in an accident. My mother never told me that one. My mother taught me about irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. These are all the law of motherhood. I'm not sure if these are in Proverbs, but they sound like they are. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. She said, shut your mouth and eat your supper. Wait a minute, you told me to shut my mouth. My mother taught me about the weather. This room of yours looks as if a tornado went through it. My daughter learned that one. My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation. You just wait till we get home. And my mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. Yes. And my mother taught me genetics. You're just like your father. I should have skipped that one. My mother taught me about my roots. Shut that door behind you. Do you think you're born in a barn? But this one's pretty good. My mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. There's a lot more, but I think that's enough. You get the gist. Proverbs actually talks about the law of the mother. Our mothers give us instruction all the time, whether we realize it or not. Growing up, they're always an example. They're always there for us. You know, recently in the last year and a half, both Pastor Mary and I lost our mothers. And it says we really didn't lose them in that way, but they stepped over into eternity. And you know, when they've been with you all your life, and especially here we are up in our 60s, and our moms were in their 90s. Hers was 98 when her mother went home, and mine was 95. You've had a long life with them, and they've influenced your life for a long time. Now, I was very fortunate, and I think Pastor Mary was very fortunate. Our mothers never tried to dominate or control or tell us what to do. That kind of ended when you're a young man or a young woman. The parents that have a tendency to want to continue to influence and tell their kids what to do, even after they get married and so forth, there is a place in which the Bible says let that married couple leave their father and mother. Not to leave them behind as if they have nothing to do with them, but they're not underneath the control or the influence or the domineering words any longer. Sometimes as a parent or even as a grandparent, one of the hardest things I've had to learn is when to keep my mouth shut. I pray for my kids and I pray for my grandkids. In fact, I think I've shared my testimony here that over 20 years ago, as I was driving back from Tulsa one time, I was by myself and Mary and the kids stayed home that weekend when they were stayed in Tulsa, and I came back to do church service here that weekend. And I was somewhere in, I don't know, last part of Missouri, first part of Iowa, coming up to Des Moines, and I was just praying in the Spirit and just worshiping God about what I was going to share. And then I just got off. I just got off into a different place in the Spirit as I was praying. Thank God for cruise control. It just, all of a sudden, I hit a gusher. That's all I can say it. And as I was praying in the Spirit and just going, and I began to interpret. You know, it says, praying in an unknown tongue, pray that you interpret. Well, I knew I was praying out something strong, that something specific, and I needed to know what it was, what it was about. Well, then I heard myself praying out about my children and my children's children. You know, at that point, neither one of my kids were even seriously dating. They didn't even have Jennifer didn't even have a serious boyfriend, and Eric, he didn't have a serious girlfriend. They both knew that they were going to wait for the right person. And it was an interesting thing where I'm going, Lord, you're having me praying for my children and my children's children. I can pray for my children, but they don't have kids yet that I don't know about. But Spirit and prayer and the Word are eternal. And as some of you know, our first grandson, the very first thing that happened when he was born, he had to go right into some surgery within that first week. We had to pray him through some things. And the Lord reminded him, he says, I already had you prepare and pray for this way before. Kept all that from getting worse. The enemy came in immediately. So we prayed for our children and our children's children. Here you have a grandmother, Lois, and a mother, Eunice, who are praying for their children and their grandchildren. You know, some of you young people right now, you may not be thinking about it. You think, I'm not even dating with anyone. But if God starts having you pray for your children, you do it. That may not make any sense to you at the time. But be obedient. Because prayers are eternal. You're laying the foundation. You're laying seeds. You're putting down roots for certain things that are going to come along. God sees before and makes provision. And the way He does that sometimes is He uses us. And so I'm thankful that I can pray for my kids and my grandchildren. We have 8 grandchildren right now, and I guarantee you they need some prayer. God puts our grandchildren in your heart. You pray for them. We'll take it. Because God's going to have a plan for each and every one of them. And the enemy's going to do everything he can to mess up each and every one of them. And he's tried. But my God is faithful. And a mother's love is something that the devil should just watch out for. Because you're messing around with something when mom gets upset about it, and you're messing with mama's cubs, look out. She's coming. You want to get mom riled up, go after her babies. Hello. And all the mamas said, amen. And so in this context, he says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which has made you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of times we'll quote all Scripture, especially if we want to defend the truthfulness of Scripture, the validity of Scripture. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired the whole Bible. This is the I better be careful because I can get carried away in this. This is the first fundamental tenet of faith of every Christian church. It ought to be. That the Word of God is the inerrant will of God. This is it. This is God's will. This is God's Word. This is not something made up by man. This is the infallible Word of God. It is. There's so many proofs about it. I don't even have time to deal with it. There's a lot of books about it, tapes and teachings. I just encourage you. But this Word of God, this Scripture, is what we hold dear, what we hold on to. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, in other words, teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I want to remind you that when we taught on 2 Timothy 3:16 in the past, that word in righteousness can be in some translations, and in the way it's written in the original language, some translators could put it this way. It's profitable for righteousness. Doctrine concerning being right with God. Reproof that brings you right with God. Correction that brings you righteousness or into a right relationship with God. Instruction that brings you into a deeper, better relationship with God. Each one of those words is connected to that last word called righteousness. And I believe that as parents, a father and a mother, one of the greatest things that we can help a child know is know Jesus and come into a right relationship with God. Now the problem is a lot of us, fortunately I didn't experience this, but a lot of people have, and we've talked to many of those people over the years, they didn't have a good relationship with their mother. Their mother maybe not have been a believer. Yeah, my mother was actually one of the first elders in the Presbyterian Church, first women elders. I believe that she knew Jesus. I believe based on the things that I have seen her on in her life and so forth, that she had a limited understanding of who she was in Christ as far as her relationship religiously. She went as far as she had knowledge. I think she was actually very, at first, concerned when I gave my life to Jesus because she wasn't quite sure where I was going. She thought maybe I was in a cult. But later in the years, as we started the church and started doing things here, she and my stepdad and actually my uncle and his wife showed up and would come to church every now and then. And I could just sit back there. I could watch her back there going like, that's my little boy. He's preaching. He's preaching Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Now, she never said that, but the look on her face, she might as well have. She was my Eunice. Now, how we respond, how we do that for our own children, how we look at life, are we going to do the same thing? Are we going to grow in the Holy Scriptures? Are we going to know them? Are we going to be able to let wisdom and salvation and faith come together in our heart because all Scripture, because the Scripture has brought us into that right relationship. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy here. Paul wanted to remind Timothy about this. And he says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. From childhood. Well, we know Proverbs 22, I think it's 22:6. Talks about train up a child in the way they should go. When they're older, they're not depart from it. I believe that firm foundation is something that we have an obligation as parents to continue to put in there. But I believe Timothy was obviously a disciple of Paul's, but it was also Timothy's mother Eunice that helped lay that foundation. So our natural parents certainly had the capacity to influence our spiritual growth and our walk of faith and our relationship with God. But I want to switch gears for just a moment, because the other side of this verse, 2 Timothy 3:14, I think also has a greater responsibility, speaking of himself, Paul, to Timothy as a father in the faith, as a discipler. It's not just your mother, your grandmother. He's also saying, know who spoke that into your life. Who are your spiritual parents? There are spiritual moms and dads for every one of us, whether we realize it. There are certain spiritual mentors, people who we have looked up to, who have really spoken the Word of God into our life in such a way that we have grown up in the faith, that we've been able to take hold of the wisdom of salvation, that we've been able to get hold of those scriptures and salvation through faith in Christ. They gave us the Word of God. A lot of us that came out of the Word of Faith movement in the 70s, Kenneth Hagin was our main father in the faith, but in a sense, I almost think of him as my grandfather in the faith, because he spoke into the lives of so many other men that have spoken into my life. There are two or three other men that I specifically look at as fathers in my faith who have spoken into my life at an early age when we first started the church, helped us get the church started, helped me as understanding my responsibility as a pastor, helping Pastor Mary and I really function in the way we're supposed to function. Who are your spiritual mom and dad? Who do you trust and call on spiritually when you're in those kind of situations? Thank God for your natural mom and dad, but there are times when I'd get in situations, my mom and dad didn't have the they didn't have the spiritual wisdom I needed. They may have had some natural wisdom, but they didn't have the spiritual wisdom that I needed. Timothy, he was very fortunate to have two very important, influential people in his life, his grandmother and his mother. You know, it's interesting, his father's never talked about much. So for us to look at that, and Paul mentions this, these relationships, and one of the other relationships that he mentions, I think is interesting. Turn over to Romans 16, verse 13. Let me read the message out of it, though. Romans 16, verse 13. He says, say hello to Rufus, good old Rufus. A good choice by the Master. In other words, he knows that God chose Rufus to help there in the Roman church. Romans 16, verse 13. Rufus, by definition in the original language, means red. That we don't know if that means the guy had red hair, he was ruddy in complexion, that was just his name. Hey, Red, come here. We don't know. Rufus. He says, God made a good choice when he picked out Rufus. But listen to this interesting phrase. And his mother. Say hello to Rufus and his mother. She has also been a dear mother to me. Now, I was reading some commentaries about this. There's some people that are trying to say that they thought Rufus was his brother and that that was his mother talking. That's really stretching. The only other place of Rufus is mentioned is some other place, and it's has nothing to do with Paul and nothing to do with his relatives. It was another place. So this apparently is a figurative statement. And I believe that figurative statement means that this woman probably really cared for Paul at some point in his ministry and helped him through some very difficult times and was there as a spiritual mother when he was growing up in the things of God and in the faith. And as he was traveling around, she was there for him. You know, there's some sweet older saints in the Lord that Pastor Mary and I that know. We just had lunch with some of them the other day. And they're not that much older than us. They've been around in the Lord for many years. They got born again way back. And I always tease the older man. I always call him my dad. We go to the restaurant. I said, will you talk to my dad here? Of course, it's a joke. And she's kind of like an older, sweet woman, grandma. And we just tease her. But I have reverence for them. You know, you respect your mom and dad. You respect the elder people. One of the scriptures talks about having respect. And I get very grieved when I look around at our world today, and I believe a lot of young people don't carry that respect anymore for older people. They'll barge in front of you. They won't hold a door for you. They'll just, they won't, It's just disturbing. I was taught differently when I was a kid. And there's just something about respecting those older men and women, but especially the women like that. There's a lot of scripture about it, and I just thought, well, I could get off teaching and all that, but I want you to understand that Paul was willing to admit that there were women that he knew that had been like a mother to him, and how that influenced his life. And he was acknowledging and recognizing her for all eternity in the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but later on, if you realize, hey, somebody mentioned me, my name went down in the Bible. That's pretty cool. And so here's Rufus and his mother being acknowledged that they were some kind of help and influence for Paul. So this is Mother's Day weekend. Are there people you need to acknowledge? Are there spiritual, physical, natural, maybe as a mother-in-law? You know, there's always mother-in-law jokes. I could have had some. I had some here. I decided not to use them. I had no problems with my mother-in-law. I loved my mother-in-law. We went and saw her all the time. And would sit and talk with her, and she'd tell me the score and the statistics of every baseball Minnesota Twins. She knew more about the Minnesota Twins at 97 than I ever did in my whole life. And I'd sit there and listen to her. We'd talk, and sometimes she'd drift, but that's all right. You show respect. You draw on the wisdom and the experience of those people. And you acknowledge them. You give them respect and honor. And so, Paul's just saying, I want you to acknowledge that this person has had a great, she was dear to me. That's a strong statement. It's not like, oh yeah, I know her. No. This person, when that says, she was dear to him. There's something really special about that relationship. Something close, something intimate, something really bonding to that relationship. And I can say that about some of these relationships we've had. When we saw these people the other day, I just love them. I just want to hug on them. I can't explain that. I just know that God has put these people in my heart, and you just got to love them and respect them and let God do whatever He's doing. They're dear to you. I think the last thing about a mother's love is the fact that God uses that illustration and that example of a mother's love to reveal His love for us. You know, we always think of God as a male and as the Father and so forth, but there's something about the Father God as well that He uses those illustrations throughout Scriptures. Turn over to Isaiah 66:13. Isaiah 66:13. Now I'm going to use the Message, if I may. And it says, as a mother comforts her child, so I'll comfort you. He's saying, I have the same qualities and the characteristics of a father and of a mother, and I am the all-encompassing parent to care for you. And he's speaking this to Israel, who was discouraged and who is struggling. Isaiah the prophet is speaking life to them, speaking words to them, speaking encouragement to them, telling them, hey, God cares for us. How did your mother care for you? Do you know how that is? And see, for us, it's difficult to say, there's this invisible God. I can't see Him. I can't touch Him. I can't necessarily physically experience Him. But He's saying to me, the same way your mother loved you, cared for you, nursed you, cleaned you up, bathed you, fed you, loved you, He says, I'm that way even more so. Now, if you can start to think that way, then you go, man, okay, I can get it. Now, sadly, so again, like I say, some people say, well, I didn't even know my mother. My mother abandoned me, or my mother was just, she had her own problems and didn't really much take care of us kids. Or, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you felt that way, that you went through that. That's the circumstances of a fallen world. People have asked me about my father. And I said, well, the same way. My father was on the road 48 weeks out of the year. I hardly knew him. And he died when I was 10 years old. He almost died a stranger to me. have very few memories of Him. And so when I got saved and I had to start to believe about the Father God, it was like I had to fill in a big empty space. Who is the Father? And then I became a father. It's like, oh man, what's a father like? Well, he's not gone 48 weeks out of the year for my kids. Pastor Mary and I made the decision when we had children that she wasn't going to work full time. We did the best we could to keep her home with the kids when they were little so they didn't have to go off into daycare all the time. And then circumstances hit us, and we still ended up doing it every now and then. And every time we did, it cost us. It affected us. There's something about having that relationship. He says, as a mother comforts her children, so I'll comfort you. So I will be there to love you. There's a compassion on God's side that gives an example and an illustration of motherhood. You know, I've had all kinds of examples. I had pages of examples and scriptures that I could tap into, and I won't go into all the teaching, but 2 Kings chapter 4, we know the story of the Shunammite woman. She wanted a child. She finally had one. The prophet came there in 2 Kings, and something then happened to that child, and he would send to that woman and say, is everything all right? It is well. And finally he showed up and found out that that child needed a miracle. Basically, as far as I'm concerned, he raised him from the dead. He raised that child from the dead for that mother. But that mother's faith and that mother's commitment to God, that mother's commitment to the prophet, that mother's commitment to righteousness and to the truth made her an example that brought life into that child. She laid down her life and, in a sense, kept at it till she got life again for her child. We know about the Solomon and the two mothers. We know about the story where there was two mothers, they had two babies, one of the babies died, and one of the other ones lived, and they started fighting over it. One says, no, that one's my baby, the one that lived is my baby. And the other says, no, that was my baby. And so they ended up before Solomon, and of course the wisdom of the parable was, he said, well, take a sword and cut the baby in half, and give each one of them half of the baby. And the real mother said, no, 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 no. He says, there's the one who loves child. Give the child to her. A mother in that example was willing to lay down her life, her wants, needs, and desires for the betterment of her child. I think one of the most interesting examples, I had to pick off all the different ones, is the mother of James and John when she came to Jesus, and we all know that story. He kind of had the wrong motive. I want you to promote my sons to be right there by you, be up there with big shots with you, Jesus. And he goes, you don't know what you're talking about. No, that's not going to happen that way. See, sometimes moms get real kind of prideful of their kids and think their kids are the only ones that know anything or can do anything, and they're the best kids. And sometimes we need to have a reality check. Glory to God. So many different examples. Turn over to Isaiah 49. Let's start to wrap this up. A mother's love is so powerful. It's so influential. It can take us, I think, to places that by ourselves we just can't get there. But God Himself, again, is trying to give us an example. You know, the people of Israel have become discouraged, and God uses the prophet Isaiah to bring them another word of encouragement. Isaiah 49, verse 14. Isaiah 49, 14. In the New Living, it says, speaking of Jerusalem, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us. That's what they were crying out. That's how they felt. But He says, never. God says, never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has borne? But even if that were possible, I mean, He's almost making the point that it's unimaginable that a mother could abandon her child or do that. He said, I will not forget you. And basically, he's saying, like a mother's love is so strong, and every person that loves that way is willing to do whatever they can. He says, it's unimaginable that they would desert you or forget you. Because that's what the verse before says. Oh, they've deserted us. They've forgotten us. You know, one of the realities after my mom passed last year, every Christmas we got a Christmas bonus, so to speak, from my mother. A Christmas card, and there was a nice little check in there, and we always planned on what we were going to do with it. And that first Christmas came, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, we're not going to get our Christmas bonus this year. That's kind of like, oh, man, bummer. It's like every Christmas, I was, you know, you're planning on, you're counting on, you're just, you already have it spent about 8 times. It's kind of like your tax return, you know. You know, you got money coming and you're thinking, oh, I could do this, I could buy that, I could do this. And you got it spent about 5 times. And that first Christmas after she passed, it was like, wow, Then my birthday came. And there wasn't another card. I was always a card. And my mother was one of those kind, she'd send you a card at St. Patrick's Day. In fact, when I was little, she'd give me a St. Patrick's Day card with a dollar in it. I mean, it was Groundhog Day. I'd get a card with a dollar in it. She was always finding little ways to express her love towards us. I think especially after my dad died, I think she realized that she had to play both parents. And one of the ways that my mother expressed her functioning gifts was a giver. She was a giver. And so I think that's the way she thought about it. And all of a sudden when she was gone, I realized, man, I missed that. I miss those cards. Yeah, I miss her, but I miss that expression of love. I miss that personal, intimate thing that she did just for us. That was her, a reflection of her love. And so, however you do that for your family, or for your kids or your grandkids, find something that expresses that love that you have for them. Do something that is unique to you. Especially that when you're gone, they'll miss you even more. Amen. Last verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 in the Message. Paul uses the same picture for the church as God had been using for Israel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. In the Message, he says, we weren't aloof with you. We took you just as you were. Isn't that the way a mother does? We were never patronizing, never condescending, but we cared for you the way a mother cares for her children. We loved you dearly. Not content to just pass on the message, we wanted to give you our hearts, and we did. To me, that's what Paul was saying. Paul was expressing what I felt when my mother passed and I didn't see those cards anymore. She had given me her heart. The only way she knew how and best way she knew how is to acknowledge certain things, to touch our hearts. You know, we were talking the other day and Pastor Mary realized, she says, you know what? This is the first Mother's Day without my mother. And you can see that little look, you know, that kind of goes over your face like, oh. And it's kind of sorrow and reality and loss. And you have to cope with that. And yet at the same time, you know, glory to God, we're going to see those people again. We're not without them. They're not gone. Amen? They're not gone. They're here. In fact, I'm not a computer whiz, but I finally diddled around long enough that I figured out how to put a rotating screensaver. And I took some old photos, and one of them pops up of my mother holding one of the grandkids, one of the little twins. And it's such a cute picture. And another one with her with all the great grandkids. Another one with Mary's mom with one of the grandkids. And so those pop up every night. And I could be working. I've got two big screens on my desk, and I usually work on one, and then you have the other one for some reference. And if I don't have that screen open for something, those things keep popping up. Every 60 seconds, a new one pops up. And so all of a sudden, I was like, there's Mom! Kind of interesting. And all of a sudden, there'll be just kind of a feeling I get. Like, she's there. I haven't lost her. She's very still alive. She's still alive to me. She's still alive in Jesus. He said, we're not patronizing. We're not condescending. We cared for you the way a mother cares for her children. We loved you dearly. We wanted to give you our hearts, and we did. I believe most mothers have done that. We need to acknowledge that. We need to be thankful for that. We need to let them know how much we love and appreciate them. Amen? Father, we just thank you for all those people in our lives. Every single person that comes into this world obviously had a mother to start with. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for no matter what type of relationship it may have been, that eventually, eternally, I trust it'll be reconciled, it'll be wonderful, it'll be glorious, it'll be Christ-like, that you are in the business of reconciliation and restoration. Thank you, Father, for opportunities to think about the fact that if our mothers have already passed on, that we'll be reunited with them and rejoicing with them. But there are many of us here, our mothers are still around. Or we are in a position where maybe motherhood is something that they have a challenge with. Or maybe they're looking to be grandmothers soon. I don't know. But Father, I thank you that you give us all the grace to be the spiritual parents that we need to be. Whether it's a father's love or a mother's love, there's something precious that we can be an example of your love in all of these situations. That we're living examples of the law of our mothers and our fathers, the instruction that comes through the Word. We give you glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed said, Amen.